From WHQR Public Radio in Wilmington, North Carolina, this is Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis Hilburn. If you were a fan of Days of Our Lives at any point from the 70s through the early 90s, you will remember Dr. Neil Curtis, played by Joe Gallison. He was nominated for an Emmy for that role, and while Dr. Curtis may be his highest profile role, it turned out to be a 17-year gig, highly unusual for actors, it's hardly the extent of his body of work. Joe Gallison has appeared in films, on Broadway, in countless other television shows, including One Tree Hill, CIS, Silk Stockings, Return to Peyton Place, One Life to Live, Another World. I could go on for the rest of the hour, but let's meet this prolific actor of TV, film, and theater who lives right here in Wilmington, North Carolina. Evan McCord, I mean Joe Gallison, welcome to Coastline.
Oh, be in my shadow, Evan.
And we'll talk about that in a second. Yes. And we're inviting you to join the conversation. Does your heart pound when you think about Dr. Neil Curtis? Have you seen Joe Gallison in a local grocery store and just didn't have the nerve to approach? Is there a question you've always had for him? Well, now's your chance to ask it. You can email us at coastline@whqr.org or tweet us at coastlinehqr. And a bit later in the program, we'll take your phone calls. So explain this Evan McCord name, Joe Gallison.
Well, I was out in Hollywood minding my own business, and I did a Hawaiian Eye, which was a series of Bob Conrad and Connie Stevens.
And this would have been in the 60s?
This was, this would have been 1960. They signed me to a contract. Well, I didn't. It was a big, 7-year thing with pages and pages. I didn't read the whole thing. And I was working on a movie called Portrait of a Mobster. I got machine gunned to death in a telephone booth. And it hurt.
Ooh.
But they called me up to the office and they said, "How much longer are we going to be calling you Joe Gallison?" I said, "Well, as long as you want, that's my name." They said, "Well, we're going to change it." Turns out they had the right in the contract to do that.
And this was a movie studio.
Yeah,
that
Warner Brothers.
Warner Brothers.
Yeah, yeah. I called them Wagner Brothers because they changed my name. So, and they had a few names, and one of them was Dart Adams.
Ooh.
Another one was Hub Matson.
Hub.
Hub.
Like
Matson. Yes.
H-U-B.
That's what I said. I said, "Why not Hub Cap? You know, let's go all the way." So Evan McCord was the least offensive. So I was Evan McCord for 2 years, riding horses and shooting at people.
And but you had the 7-year contract. So what happened after 2 years?
Well, after 2 years, they had 13 shows in the air, all with ABC. And suddenly they had no shows on the air. And they dropped a lot of their contract, most of their contract players. They kept Natalie Wood and Troy Donahue, but they dropped everybody else.
And then you went on to another movie studio with a contract.
No, I was on a contract to Columbia Pictures first.
Oh, that was first.
I went from Columbia to Warner Brothers, and then the street.
And the business is different now.
It's very different.
Actors don't really go under contract to movie studios the way they used to.
No, because the movie studios are not producing as a studio film after film after film. What they do now is they basically rent space and individual producers come in and rent a studio and make a movie.
You had no intention of becoming an actor when you went to college at Northeastern University.
No, furthest thing from my mind.
You started majoring in physics.
I did.
How do you go from physics to acting?
Well, acting was easier than physics. I had one elective in my third year, and I took public speaking because I thought it'd be the least time consuming. And it was. And the guy that taught the course, Gene Blackman, directed the plays. They now have a drama major there. They didn't then. And I had a job running the switchboard at night, doing my homework, whatever. And I was leaving one night at 10 o'clock, and the lights in the auditorium were on, and then we're on at 10 o'clock. So I poked my head in, and he was having a reading for a play he was doing. and he handed me a script thinking I was there to read. And I was about to dissuade him. I noticed there were some very attractive young ladies there. And I thought, well, just stick around and see what happens. And I got a small part playing a dumb football player and a male animal. And about the second rehearsal, I just fell in love with it. I just, you know, it was a way to express emotion. And I hadn't had that avenue. So I was all kind of tense and, you know, and here was an acceptable way to be emotional. It was terrific.
This wasn't part of your upbringing. Were either of your parents artistic, or
did
any of your five siblings do anything in the creative world?
No. My father painted ships in the Navy Yard, and my mother was a telephone operator.
And that was your first job in college.
Yes, that's right.
You went to West Point. Why West Point?
Well, you were going to serve in the draft was in full swing. In my senior year in high school, I hadn't applied to any colleges because I thought I'd have to work a year to afford it. And Mr. Frazier, who ran the college application stuff, called me and I said, "Why haven't you?" And I told him, I said, "Yeah, I don't have the money." And he said, "Well, there are scholarships, and then there are the service academies." And so I got the addresses, and I wrote my congressman, John McCormick, and he gave me an appointment. And I went down and took the tests, 3 days of tests.
And what kind of tests were these?
One was medical, total medical all day. Another was physical, throwing things, lifting things, running, and, you know, all that stuff. And the third was intellectual. There was English for an hour, math for an hour, and a 2.5-hour aptitude test, part of which was they invented this new language, and you had to translate from English to that and back to English. You know, it was a rigorous test. But I got there, and I went through Beast Barracks, which was difficult. And my back went out for some reason. I was doing something, and they took x-rays, and I got a medical discharge. I have a bad back.
And it was after that that you went
to Northeastern,
yes. And wandered into an audition and unwittingly turned into an actor.
Yeah, 3 years later, yeah.
And once you left Northeastern, you spent some time doing summer stock?
I did summer stock between my junior year and my senior year and after my senior year. And, you know, kind of wrestled with, what do I do now? Do I go to New York and become an actor or try to become an actor? Or do I, you know, get another degree and teach? And I decided to go to New York and give it a shot.
But you were a little delayed in getting to New York, as I understand it.
Yes. I helped my father paint some houses for a couple of months and made $150, and I thought that was enough.
$150,
yeah.
To take in your pocket with you to New York City.
Yes, to go to New York to become an actor.
And what year would this have been?
This is 1958. And the phone rang, and it was the guy that was head of the theater department at UConn. That ran the summer stock, and he said, "Well, come on down this weekend. We're having a party with all the old gang." And I said, "Well, Cecil, I can't because Friday I'm going to New York to become an actor." And Cecil said, "Well, if you can delay your debut for a few days, I'll drive you in on Monday." And I said, "Yeah, great." I said, so I went to the party, and a week later I was a married teacher.
Wait, what?
Yeah,
you went to a party.
Yes, well, there was this woman mm-hmm. there that I had befriended the previous summer season, and we got together, decided to get married, and I got an offer to teach a course in English Lit and for a semester, and I did.
And this is Maxine.
This is Maxine.
And you were married to Maxine for how long?
Well, 6 months. We never lived together. She was getting her doctorate at Cornell. I was teaching at UConn. So we'd fly up and fly back, you know. And when I finally finished the semester of teaching, she found out I was offered an assistantship to go on, and she said, "Well, you're going to be an actor. I mean, going to be a teacher." I said, "No, I'm going to be an actor." She said, "No, you're going to be a teacher." I said, "No, I'm going to be an actor." And so I went to New York, and that was that.
Are you still in touch with Maxine in any way?
I'm not, but we maintained touch for many years, and then kind of lost it.
And fast forwarding perhaps a couple of decades here, mm-hmm. you got a job on a soap opera. And this is sort of a different form from – it's very different from working on a film and even other kinds of TV shows, because you, if you're a regular character, have to learn new lines 5 days a week.
Well, you're not on 5 days. Yeah, sometimes you are, but if your storyline's real hot. But usually it's 2 or 3 days a week.
And so how do you – take us through a typical day on the set of a soap opera when you are a regular character.
Well, the first one I did was Another World in New York, and that was live. So that was a different schedule. You would read the script after the show went on the air for the next day, and they would time it and make cuts or whatever. And then you come in the next morning and you rehearse, 6 o'clock in the morning, 7 o'clock in the morning, because we were on – I think we were on at noon live. Maybe it was 3 o'clock.
But you're going on the air live.
Yeah.
And so this is a circumstance where you can forget your lines.
Oh, yeah.
And you're live.
Oh, sure.
Or trip over a cable.
Oh, yeah.
Or have some audible intestinal mm-hmm. distress.
Yes.
We'll hear more about that. You're listening to Coastline on 91.3 FM. We're talking with actor Joe Gallison about how he wound up on television instead of in the physics laboratory. Coming up after the break, we'll hear more about his adventures in daytime drama, and we'll open the phone lines if you have a question for Joe Gallison. Give us a call at 910-343-1138. You can also email us today at coastline@whqr.org. You're listening to Coastline. You're listening to Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis Hilburn. We're talking with actor Joe Gallison today, most notably of Days of Our Lives fame. He played Dr. Neil Curtis for about 17 years. And the phone lines are open. If you have a question for Joe, give us a call at 910-343-1138. You can also email us today at coastline@whqr.org. And Joe, right before we went to break, you were telling us about your days on Another World when you would shoot this live. And anything could happen. Anything could go wrong, and there it goes out over the airwaves.
Yes.
Was there ever – there must have been a number of times that you had some incidences.
Oh, there were. I mean, but you just plow right through it and make up words and stuff like that. There was one time when Susan Trustman, who was a wonderful actress, was playing my cousin Pat. She was having trouble in her marriage. I can remember the blocking in the scene. Isn't that crazy? She was downstage right. I was downstage left, and I had this long speech telling her about, marriage isn't – I don't know how I knew. I was a law student. Marriage is difficult in life and this and given this all this stuff. And John's a good man. And went on and on and on for about a page and a half, ending up down next to her. And I got down next to her, and I looked at her, and I realized she was gone. She had worked days and days, weeks and weeks. She was carrying the show. She was just wigged out. She was just waiting for a bus, or she was, somewhere else.
Her eyes were vacant.
Yeah.
She just was not with you.
Yeah, she was, she was not there.
Yeah.
And I thought, I said, Pat, you didn't hear a word I said, did you? So why you came to life? Oh, yeah. Whatever. So I kind of repeated what I'd said, and we went on, And another time.
What does that do to the timing then? Because you have this finite time post that you have to hit at the end of the show. Yeah, so does that mean they cut another scene, or what happens?
No. Well, that took maybe an extra 30 seconds, maybe, which is a lot of time mm-hmm. on live TV. Mm-hmm. They'll just tell you to speed up, and in a scene, down the line. It's like, do it a little faster. Not necessarily funnier, but
louder, quicker. Faster, yeah. Funnier. Mm.
And another time, I would go up after we get notes after the dress rehearsal. I would go up to my room, kick off my shoes, and get back, and I'd, you know, to relax and concentrate and decide, make selections in the scene that I was going to do. This particular time, and it was again with Susan Trustman. She was in her garden waiting, and I walk on the stage, and we have a conversation. And I fell asleep. I fell asleep in my dressing room. I remember the door being ripped open. You're on! I had to clang down the stairs, and she's out there watering her plants. You know, watering her plants. And I said, oh, Pat, I said, oh, nice to see you. One of those. But, you know, things happen all the time on live TV.
So it's a lot like live theater in that
it
sense.
Is.
People missing entrances, forgetting lines,
yes.
And you have to get through it.
Very much so.
We're talking with actor Joe Gallison about his time on soap operas In Another World, Days of Our Lives. And we have an email. This is from John Evans, who is the news anchor at WECT mm-hmm. in Wilmington. And he writes, along with all of his great work on stage and screen, Joe Gallison should also be saluted for all of the work and the volunteer hours he gives to this community and others. He and his wife, Melissa, are some of the best people we have in the Wilmington area. I'm proud to call Joe and Melissa good friends.
That's very nice. That's very sweet.
Yes. And you two are probably golf buddies.
We have played golf together. Played in the Duke tournament a few times before it went up in smoke.
One of those tournaments that
yes.
went up in smoke. You had plenty of love interests, I'm sure, especially mm-hmm. as Dr. Neil Curtis on Days of Our Lives for almost two decades.
Yes.
How, as an actor, do you separate Dr. Neil Curtis, the character, from Joe Gallison, the human being who might have a real life partner or wife or significant other? How do you do that? Especially when you're physically possibly rolling around in a bed with that person,
yes.
kissing that person passionately.
Yes.
How do you do that?
That's acting. You know.
Is that what you tell your wife?
Yes, I tell my wife. I was thinking about you, sweetheart. No. But it's, you know, it's different people would approach it differently. I was very fortunate to work early in my career with Sandy Meisner, who, for my money, is the greatest acting teacher that ever lived. And Sandy had a definition of acting. His definition was acting is behaving honestly under the imaginary circumstances.
So it's you. It's you,
it's you
coming through.
Yes.
There's nothing fictional about it.
No.
The circumstances are.
You accept the circumstances.
But people are witnessing then actual human experience.
Yes.
It's real, and that's what makes it compelling.
Yeah.
So then it's you in that bed with that woman.
Yes, it is.
How does your significant other deal with that?
I don't know. No, she has no problem. She had never had a problem with that.
And
Melissa.
Right now we're talking about Melissa.
Yeah.
You've been married to Melissa for many years.
Since many years.
1980?
Yeah, 35 years.
Yeah? That's a long time. You married her when she was 3.
She was 4.
Okay.
But she's legal now, so.
So that's not something that you've ever allowed to be a conflict then in your life.
No. No. The acting, you know, those imaginary circumstances are just that. They're imaginary. It's trying to be honest under those circumstances.
So then when you've had these imaginary circumstances, a storyline that involves a love affair with somebody on the show,
yes.
do you ever go home at night and think, wow, I think I'm really into this person and this could be an issue for me? I mean, there has to be some kind of potential for human conflict here. You're just looking at me like, no, I keep it simple. But really?
Really?
Okay.
No.
Okay. Well, we have a clip from an episode that you did of Silk Stockings, which was a series that was on for a while. Mm-hmm. And before we actually play that episode, tell us about that role. Do you know what I'm talking about? I think with Raquel Gardner here.
Yes.
And this was a rather risque kind of role. That.
The handcuffs.
Yes.
Yes.
And we're actually not going to play the sound from the handcuff scene because I don't think it would be appropriate for daytime radio. Mm-hmm. But this is leading up to that, or perhaps after that scene when you're having dinner. Can you tell us about that?
I really don't remember much about that.
Okay, so I think that you're having dinner with this woman.
Uh-huh.
And you're a very rich man. You're playing this very wealthy man. And this is a young, beautiful woman that you intend.
I remember Raquel.
Your intention is obviously to seduce her in this scene. So let's just hear this clip.
Okay.
Wiley, put on some music.
Yes, Mr. Ballantyne.
Junior tells me you're a dancer.
Yes, I dance.
So, show me your moves. And maybe I'll show you a few of mine.
I'll bet you can.
I'll bet you can. Do you remember that scene now?
It's all come back to me.
Do you remember when you shot that?
Yes.
When was it?
I had just left Days. Had to be 92, maybe.
So this would have been early 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, I won't ask you again about how Melissa dealt with that very
Melissa's graphic. Never had any problem.
You two are the healthiest people that I've ever known in my life. You're listening to Coastline. We're talking with actor Joe Gallison, who is probably best known for playing Dr. Neil Curtis on Days of Our Lives. He now lives in Wilmington and still gets out on stage here and still works in TV and film. And we'll hear more about that in just a moment. But Sunny from Wilmington, welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Thank you. First of all, just let me say, it's so wonderful to have you in Wilmington.
Thank you.
Well, I work with a lot of professional actors in the area in Wilmington and in North Carolina, and I just think it would be thrilling and helpful and inspiring for them to have the opportunity to meet you and sit with you and ask questions. And I was just wondering if you might be willing to do that.
Absolutely.
Would you consider that?
Sure.
Oh, well, that's wonderful. I guess I'll find out how to do that later.
You know what, Sunny? We'll just have our producer, Claudia, pick up and get your phone number and email address, and we'll pass that off to Joe Gallison. So
Thanks
so much for your call.
Thank you.
You're listening to Coastline. We're talking with actor Joe Gallison about his days in the 70s, 80s, and 90s working in daytime television. He's probably best known for his role as Dr. Neil Curtis on Days of Our Lives. If you have a question for Joe, you can give us a call at 910-343-1138. And Sunny, I think you might actually need to call us back to get through. You can also email us today at coastline@whqr.org. So you spent about 17 years on Days of Our Lives, and then you had a final scene that wasn't very dramatic when you're considering the exit befitting a character who's been on a show for 17 years. Can you tell us about how this happened?
Well, you have a guarantee on the soap. So many shows a year. And I always said, you know, when they come to me and say, we're going to lower your guarantee, it's time to leave. Mm-hmm. And they came to me and they said, we're going to lower your guarantee. And I said, that's fine. Yeah, 17 years has been great, but I'm going to move on. And I don't think they believed me. I know they didn't. And I had a vacation, so Melissa and I went to Baton Rouge and cruised the Mississippi. And when I came back, you know, they write the show maybe 4 to 6 weeks in advance. And I came back, and they had not written me out. And I said, no, I'm you know, my last day is it was a few days, and I said, no, I'm really, you know, thank you very much, but I'm, you know, I love you guys, and you know, but it's time for me to leave. So they didn't have a scene to write me out. It wasn't time. So my last scene was, my last line was, well, I've got to go see some patients. And I added lots of patients.
And we actually also have this clip as well.
Ah.
It's, and Aurora, can we play that clip?
Speaking of which, I haven't seen Roman Brady here doing visiting hours. Doesn't that strike you as odd? After all, he is Bo's brother. And where he is?
Why don't you ask her?
Well, if you'll excuse me, I have patients to see. Lots of patients.
You added that lots
of
patients.
Yeah, I did. Yes.
What were you feeling at that point? Were you angry that they hadn't taken you seriously?
Oh, no, or? No. I wasn't angry at all. I just, you know, it was like, oh, it's a little awkward. I'm sorry, you know. But I did tell you, you know, 3 weeks ago that I was leaving, and you know, I guess they didn't believe me.
After spending that many years in the same job as an actor, what's it like then to face the next week? Not knowing what's next and not having that routine.
It's difficult because for those years, you haven't used the audition muscles. You know, so you lose that edge when you audition. And I auditioned for a few things while I was doing days. I did a few things while I was doing days, but, you know, not a whole lot. It took some time to get that back, to feel comfortable auditioning and going out and trying to get work. Well, first, I had to get an agent, you know, do well. Yes, it was a big adjustment.
How is auditioning different from actually having the job and playing that role?
Well, when you have the job, you go in and you rehearse, and it's not a performance level. You get to the performance level slowly by rehearsing. For an audition, you're going to be right there at a performance level. So you have to make quick choices, selections, and just let it rip.
When you think back to your time in daytime soap operas, what was your favorite moment during those years?
Oh, God. Favorite moment? I guess it would have to be with Mary Fran, who passed away like 15 years ago. She played Amanda, who was my girlfriend. That's how I came on the show. She played my girlfriend. And we were going to get married, and oh, I'm feeling embarrassed. That's crazy. We were going to get married. And the night before we were going to get married, I cheated on her. I'm feeling terrible.
And this is your character.
Yes. And so we had this scene, you know, where she finds out and goes, we had this big emotional scene. That was my favorite moment.
And is that because you were really proud of that work as an actor?
Yeah. It was. I loved working with Mary. She was just wonderful to work with. And we worked well together. And that scene was particularly good.
What makes a really good scene with an actor? What has to come together for you to look back at the work and say, yeah, that was something that was worth doing and I'm really proud of it?
Well, you have to have a scene that's fairly well written. And, not all of them are. So you need that. You need an actress or an actor that you work well with. It'd be nice if you had the same kind of acting approach. Doesn't happen a lot, but just sometimes it just happens. It's just magic. And when that happens, it's glorious.
What do you do when you're in a circumstance with an actor who maybe isn't up to your level, isn't quite going as deep as you'd like to see him? How do you handle that?
You you work off of what the lines mean, not how the actor delivers them. You react to those imaginary circumstances. Try to allow yourself to be open enough to react to that reality.
After you left Soaps, well, actually, this would have been during your time on Soaps. You took a turn on Broadway, and it was a musical.
Yeah. I did MAME with Angela Lansbury, but I was doing Another World at the same time. Another World was done in Brooklyn. So I get up in the morning, I take a limo out to Brooklyn and do the Soap, and then come back and have a quick dinner and go to the Winter Garden and sing and dance.
Had you ever sung and danced professionally before MAME?
No, and I didn't dance, thank God. I got by in the singing. I wasn't a great singer. But Angela was wonderful to work with. It was a great experience. I loved it. I just couldn't do it for more than 6 months because I was getting 3 hours sleep a night.
You went for 6 months on 3 hours of sleep
a night.
Yeah,
almost. Well, then Sunday, I just slept all day, but yeah.
And have you done musicals since?
I've done some musicals here.
You have. And
yes.
We're going to go to break in just a minute. But when we come back.
Uh-oh.
Yes, I think we have a clip.
Oh, no.
You're listening to Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. We're embarrassing actor Joe Gallison with memories of his wonderful work on television, in film, and on stage. If you have a question, you have one more segment to get it in. 910-343-1138 is how you reach us today. You can also email us at coastline@whqr.org. You're listening to Coastline. You're listening to Coastline. I'm your host, Rachel Lewis-Hilburn. We're talking with actor Joe Gallison today about his long career and his eventual move to Wilmington, North Carolina with his wife, Melissa. You probably know him from Days of Our Lives, Another World, or One Life to Live. But just before we went to break, we talked about Joe's time on stage. And Joe, we talked about you being in MAME with Angela Lansbury on Broadway.
Yes.
And since you moved to Wilmington, you've done some musicals here. And we actually have a clip from, I believe this was you as Santa Claus in Miracle on 34th Street.
Yes.
And you're talking to a little girl, Maddie is the actress's name, as you talk about turning the clock back to a kinder, gentler time.
Yes.
Let's listen.
Susan, we're going to turn the clock back. Kinder, gentler times. Pine cones and holly berries, popcorn for you, apples for me, red striped candy, nutcracker handy, kettle, a bubble, and holiday tea. Snow clouds hang low and threaten, maybe it won't, praying it may. The brightest fireplace glows in every face, waiting for Christmas Day.
Do you remember that?
Vividly.
That would have been fairly recent.
4 or 5 years ago, maybe. 3, I don't know. I have no sense.
Can you continue the song?
I can. Oh, God.
And that was, of course, Maddie played the little girl.
Yes,
she is wonderful.
Yes.
And she's someone who I have no doubt is going to go on to a professional career.
I would think.
So we're not talking about her in this next question, but is there a shift for you when you go from the professional world to acting in a community theater?
No.
What adjustments do you have to make?
No adjustments. It's acting. Acting is acting. And do it the same. I mean, there are different challenges with rehearsing and stuff. But basically, it's the same thing.
What are some of the challenges?
Well, the talent level is probably more diverse. You know, and it's community theater, so you adjust.
What makes you want to do a show here? Like, if someone was listening now and saying, I need to get that Joe Gallison into my production, how would they be successful in doing that?
First, they would hire you.
Oh,
because the
sweet.
Show we did together was my favorite. It was really a joy to do.
I have to say it's mutual.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
And tell folks about that show.
She played my daughter in other
desert cities.
And it was very dramatic. It was, you know, her brother, my son, presumably is dead. You come back to write a book about the whole experience, and we don't want you to do it, and you don't listen to us, of course.
Well, and who listens to their parents?
I know. And I had to play a Republican, which was a stretch for me.
You were wonderful in that role. We're talking with Joe Gallison, prolific TV, film, and theater actor who lives with his wife, Melissa, in Wilmington, North Carolina. We have about less than 15 minutes in the show. If you have a question for Joe, give us a call at 910-343-1138. You can also email us today at coastline@whqr.org. And Paul from Southport, welcome to Coastline. You're on the air.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call.
Sure. What's your question for Joe?
Well, many years ago, I don't want to say how many, but a long time ago, I used to pal around a little bit with a guy that played Joe Riley on One Life to Live, and he'd sail up and down Long Island.
Oh, my God.
And
Lee Patterson,
wondered,
one of my great friends.
Okay, so that was my question. I wondered if you guys sort of piled around, you know, show to show. Like, he had a great boat called the Moon Fleet, and he would sail over to Oyster Bay. And yeah, but so that was my question: is did you guys sort of cross the lines and the networks and hang out?
The
with
answer to your question
other...
is a resounding yes.
Okay,
I met Lee while I was under contract to Warner Brothers because he was under contract to Warner Brothers. He was doing Surfside 6. And I did that show a couple of times, and Lee and I became very good friends and reunited in One Life to Live. In fact, Lee rescued me. I was when I was in New York, I was trying to get out of a marriage.
Would this have been the second? This would have been Connie Sharp.
This would have been Connie Sharp. And Lee came to the apartment and helped load my books into his car and was making an escape with my books. So, Lee and he passed away a number of years ago, but we were really good friends. He's a great guy, great guy.
That's great, great to hear. Brings back great memories.
Yes.
Paul, thank you so much for your call. That's incredible. Mm. So you wouldn't have met him through the soap world. That's your lives would never have intersected.
Oh, well, yeah, because we were on One Life to Live at the same time.
At the same time.
You know. Okay. In fact, Lee, I played an amnesiac on One Life to Live, and Lee worked at the Joe Riley worked at the newspaper, and I was getting a job there or something, and I knocked on the door, and Lee said, this is during – performance was taped. Lisa, I knocked on the door and Lee said, "Who is it?" And I said, "I don't know." Because I'm an amnesiac.
Right.
Yeah, and which was not the line, you know. I had a name, Tom Edwards, and everybody fell on the floor except the director, who was not very happy.
Because they had to do another take.
Yes, yes.
Oh, why didn't they keep that? Well, you eventually moved to Wilmington, North Carolina.
We did.
And why? How did you and Melissa choose Wilmington?
We decided to leave L.A. That was the first thing. We started looking around at cities to live, and she wanted to live near the ocean, and my criteria was I never want to see snow again as long as I live. And we did. I was invited to play in the Coastal Classic golf tournament here in 93. So we came here to do that, and we got off the plane and looked around and said, well, what's wrong with this? so we it took us a couple of years to sell the house and move. We moved here in 96.
96. Yep. So you've been here now for 20 years.
Almost 20 years. It'll be 20 years in August. I got here first. I got here between Bertha and Fran, the hurricanes.
And you still continued with the move.
Yes, yes. At least you know they're coming, unlike earthquakes.
Are there shows on your bucket list? Are there things that you'd really like to do here in Wilmington or elsewhere?
I wanted to do Lear for a long time, and I'm too old to do it now. It's just too physically demanding. There are plays I'd like to do, but, you know.
Are there other Shakespearean plays that you'd like to do? Have you done Shakespeare here in Wilmington?
Yeah, I did Hamlet. I played the king in Hamlet in a very good production. That was in 2012, I think. No, 2002. Yeah, so it was a while back.
Would that have been at Greenfield Lake?
Or no, it was at the Studio Theater at Thalian Hall. It was well done.
Okay. Is there a certain kind of role, like the diabolical villain or the devastating heartthrob, that you enjoy playing more?
Comedy. I want to do comedy. I did Plaza Suite.
The Neil Simon play.
Yes. I saw that on Broadway with George C. Scott and Maureen Stapleton. And the third scene was the funniest thing I'd ever seen. And I said, I got to do that one of these days. And we did.
And when did you do that?
That was the year after Hamlet, I think. So it was 2003, 2, something like that. Thalian Association did it.
When you think back to your favorite jobs, just looking at all of it, from the time you entered the business, your days as a contract player for movie studios, to the days in the soaps, to other television, to theater, what's your favorite piece of work? I mean, what do you pull out and say, this is really what I'm proud of?
I'm proud of other desert cities. I thought that was good work. A few other plays, but I guess the best of the scenes from Days of Our Lives, because it was such a wonderful character. He was very complicated. Did some terrible things. Was a wonderful doctor and did some good things, you know. But it was a very rounded, full character.
And now that you're in Wilmington, other than community theater, how do you spend your time? Is there a typical day? What do you like to do?
There isn't a typical day, and I'm always busy, and I can't figure out why. Yeah, but I play golf. I read a lot. I watch TV. I watch sports on TV. I watch news on TV. I watch a lot of dramatic shows and some comedy.
What are some of your favorite shows right now?
I like Shades of Blue because Ray Liotta is a pal of mine and a wonderful actor. I like Elementary. The Sherlock Holmes thing, he's quite good. I like NCIS. I like Scandal. Blacklist I like a lot. James Spader is quite good. A lot of stuff.
And you said you play golf. Is that something that you're still doing competitively at all? And do you get your wife Melissa involved?
Well, Melissa hasn't got time, and she kind of gave it up a few years ago, which is too bad because she's got a very nice swing. She wouldn't believe me, and I said, no. And we went down to this golf course and had the coffee shop right near the first tee. I said, sit here and watch these people tee off. We sat there for a while. She said, oh, yeah, I do have a good swing.
Do you travel for golf now?
Yeah, we do. We go to Lexington, Kentucky every June, which is a wonderful golf tournament. And used to go to a bunch of others, but they kind of went up in smoke.
And
one reason, I don't know, politics or egos or whatever.
Your favorite golf course of all time?
My favorite golf course of all time is in Ireland, near where my grandfather grew up, a place called Ballyliffin, in the northern tip of Ireland, which is the Republic of Ireland. And my friend Alex Kramer and I were playing, and we had this caddy named Maureen. My grandfather's name was Patrick Daugherty. And I turned to Maureen and I said, "Maureen, how many people named Daugherty do you know?" She stopped and she said, "Oh, about 300 or 400. That's where they came from. Yeah. All the Daughertys.
And you actually, you grew up in a ghetto out near Boston?
Well, it was part of Boston. It was East Boston, which was largely Italian. And then they paved over the street where I lived to make the airport bigger, Logan International Airport. And we moved to South Boston, which South Boston was the Irish ghetto.
And Neptune Road?
Neptune Road was in East Boston. That's what they paved over.
And you went back there fairly recently for your niece's wedding.
I went for my niece's wedding.
How much has it changed?
Well, it's changed entirely. It used to be a Neptune Road going out to this Wood Island Park, and acres of trees and grass surrounded by beach. Great place to play and swim and whatever. And it's paved over. It's just gone.
When you look back on your life so far, if you could tell a younger Joe Gallison one thing, what would you tell that younger Joe Gallison? What would you want him to know?
Relax. I was very intense, too intense. I wasn't smelling the roses. I wasn't enjoying the journey way back, you know. I got to the where I could do that, but just kind of relax and take it all in.
How old were you before you were able to sort of let us, exhale?
I think Melissa had a lot to do with that. Changed my life.
Is there anything else, as the world turns, and I didn't do that on purpose, do you grow more hopeful or less hopeful about the future?
More.
And why?
Because more and more I see the possibilities in people, and I think people are evolving. I think they're getting to be where they're kinder to each other. I think that's very important.
Joe Gallison, it has been such a pleasure having you on this edition of Coastline.
This is my favorite interview I have ever done.
Oh, and we got that on tape. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
That's this edition of Coastline. And remember, you can now hear Coastline twice a week on Wednesdays and Thursdays at 12:06 here on HQR News 91.3 FM. Join us next week for part 3 of our series on hog farming when we take a closer look at animal welfare. That's Wednesday, May 11th. Coastline's executive producer is Cleve Callison. Today's producer is Claudia Thompson. Our technical director is Ken Campbell. Aurora Shimshak engineered today's show. If you missed part of this episode, look for it on our website at whqr.org or get the podcast from the iTunes store. You can also tune in for the rebroadcast of both shows now on Sundays from 2 to 4 in the afternoon. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn for Coastline.